It's a good story for Valentine's. Not that you're going to find romance in it or even the word love, but it was told by the one who came to bring love to us, who makes love go deep into our hearts, who brings love to life. It's found in Luke 15, and we'll begin reading at verse 11. Actually, the story, this love story is so full, we're going to be spending the next two Sundays on it as well. And still we will not have exhausted it. Let's pray together before we read God's Word. Lord, we hear your truth about many topics. Tell us the truth today about love, your love. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Luke 15, beginning at verse 11. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that would belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, but here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What is love? Well, it's what Jesus knew was at stake in this conversation he kept having with the religious leaders. Everyone was speculating about Jesus, whether he might be the long-awaited Messiah. He taught like no one they had ever heard. And then God did these amazing things through him that demonstrated God's power and grace. And even the religious leaders, to whom everyone usually looked, they were amazed by him as well. But they couldn't even begin to figure out why he kept the company he did. Why did he hang out with all these ne'er-do-wells, these thieving tax collectors, they're traitors, and prostitutes, and all kinds of people who ignored their religious laws? That's who was there the day that Jesus told this story, this kind of rough crowd that he was prone to hang out with. And around the edges of the room, the Pharisees and the scribes who had called into question the company he was keeping, kept harping on him. You look up at the start of the chapter and you see their words. "This fellow welcomes sinners and even eats with them." Now, Jesus could have given them a theological lecture. He could talk theology with anyone better than them. But instead, he told a story. He told a love story. What is love? It's what the younger son had always had and didn't know it. He'd always had a father who loved him. He was born into a family where he was loved. But he could no more see that love than a fish could see the water that it swims in. It's a funny thing about how love works in a broken world. You'd think that something as good as love would be eagerly received, but often it's not. In fact, sometimes, even when we are loved very well, we don't know it, which is what puts us to looking for love in all the wrong places, which is exactly what the younger son did. And if that part of the story sounds familiar to you, it's because it's not a new story. This is a story that has been echoing across the ages. In fact, it began to be told all the way back at the beginning when the Lord found his own aliveness and love too good to keep to himself. And so he created some people in his own image who had the capacity to get in on his kind of goodness. And at the center of his goodness was his love. But you remember how Genesis describes the tragic turn. The serpent came and tempted Eve, in essence, by telling her that God really didn't love her. Hey, Eve, you realize, of course, that God's holding out on you here. He's trying to keep you down by restricting you, even in something so simple as what tree you can eat from. It was utter nonsense. It was a total lie. God loved Adam and Eve. He created them because of his overflowing love. He loved hanging out with them there in the garden. But Eve believed the whisper, the lie of the serpent, and Adam bought in on the lie as well. And the next thing you know, they had decided that they could not come into their own unless they did so over against God instead of with him. And they started acting like people do when they don't know they're loved. And somehow, it must have been catching, because the scripture goes on to describe the same story being told in the lives of their kids and then their grandkids and all the way down, people who acted like they weren't loved. In fact, it's the same story that's been told all the way across human history and across your own life history. Your story is an echo of this story. And it's wrecked us just as badly as it wrecked them. And Jesus captured all of this broad sweep of the human story, captured it brilliantly in a simple story that he told to the Pharisees and scribes that day, who despite their high-flying religious rhetoric had the same basic human problem. They didn't know they were loved. Just like the tax collectors and the sinners they scorned didn't know they were loved. Just like you and me. Loved and didn't know it. Jesus knew that this is the part of the story that we have to internalize in the deepest way. It has to sink most deeply into our hearts if there's going to be any meaningful change in our lives. And that's why he told the story the way he did. Mario Bergner has written an autobiography describing how it became plain in his own life, this life-changing love of God and its impact upon us. He describes himself as a boy who was always looking for something, always yearning. He has some details he describes about his family, but however that family worked, there was an emptiness in his heart. When he came into his teenage years and sexual desires arose, he began looking to sexual practice and engagement to satisfy this neat, nagging kind of hunger. And through whatever combination of factors leads one into a heterosexual or homosexual direction, he moved into the homosexual scene. And even though he believed in Jesus, he had no real family support and he had no teaching about the Christian life. And so through his teenage years, this played out with one after another, dozens of lovers. And yet his heart the whole time was just craving for love. Love at hand and yet not in reality. A deep, deep hunger. After about 5 years of this pattern, it was in the early 1980s now, and he came down with some frightening symptoms, and the hospital diagnosed him with what was then a newly discovered disease called AIDS. And you'll remember, those old enough, that was a death sentence in the early 80s. A couple nights later, Jesus came to Mario in a vision and said, I want to heal you, but I don't want to just heal you physically, I want to heal your whole person. And Mario had no clue what he meant by whole person. He was just eager for healing, however it came. And it came. He was healed. Miraculously. And the doctors were baffled by that. And then the Lord commenced a much slower process. And he did as he promised. He commenced to heal the whole person. Mario got connected with a strong disciple-making church, and he got into a support group for people who wanted freedom from various compulsive sexual patterns. But change was coming slowly. Temptation still pulled at him. And he would go for a while and then fail for a while, and go for a while and fail for a while. And some months later, he heard Leanne Payne teach about the healing power of God and how the Lord doesn't start with demands, but starts with the deep healing of the heart. It was really the first time he'd heard that part of the gospel message. And because the roots of his sinful compulsions, like with the younger son in the story, were in the deep places of his heart, and specifically in not knowing that he was loved, this was a key place for him to begin the turnaround in his life. Leanne gave them an exercise. Leanne Payne gave him and his support group an exercise. She says, I want you to keep a prayer journal, and I want you to write down in your prayer journal any scripture that God calls to life for you, that comes to mean something to you suddenly, or any word that the Holy Spirit simply speaks to you. So Mario got his prayer journal and began to do that, and he said he kept hearing the Lord say the same thing over and over and over. I love you, Mario. Okay. So he wrote it down. Seemed obvious enough. And the Lord said the same thing the next day. And the next day. The same four words. Nothing more, nothing less. Same four words. I love you, Mario. I love you, Mario. And after about a month of this, I mean, he was ready to get to kind of move on to some other things. He said to the Lord, I've been hearing the same four words for over a month. Couldn't you please tell me something else? And then he heard, you don't believe me. I've been repeating myself because you don't believe me. And Mario says, at that moment, the gospel that had begun to sink in his head just went right on down into his heart. And he began to know, really know, that God loved him. And that then led to some other breakthroughs in his life. In the next few months, he was able to pull apart from these compulsive patterns, and his whole way of living began to be rearranged, and there was a freedom and a wholeness to love emerging in his life. The kind of change that Jesus knew was possible, but that the world says is impossible. It became possible for Mario through Jesus, through the love story that Jesus told and lived. Now back to that story itself. What is love? Love is the capacity of a lover to hold the beloved without grasping. Love is the capacity to welcome the beloved without hesitation. That's how Jesus described it in the story. Imagine what it was like for the father to stand out on the front porch and to watch his son head off to the far country. And now he's got a sack of cash because he just liquidated his part of the family estate. And he has the full intention to do what the father knew would destroy him. But rather than run after his son and tackle him, he let him go. Watched him walk away. If you're a parent, at some point, you'll stand in that place when everything in you wants to chase and tackle and grasp. But the true love of the Father holds without grasping. It's an open-handed kind of hold. And there's another facet to the Father's love in the story that's just as remarkable. The welcoming part, a welcome without hesitation. Jesus said, after the Son made a total mess of everything in himself, he realized he'd be far better off at home. So he came home. And get this detail that Jesus throws in. While the Son was still far off, his Father saw him and was filled with compassion and ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. No test to see if he had pure motives. He didn't. No clean up your act first. He couldn't. Instead, there's just this dignified dad laying down his dignity to run and throw his arms around his son, even after his son had blown it for himself and disgraced himself and the family and his dad. He was still loved. And so when his dad saw him from far off, he ran for him. That meant he hadn't written him off. It meant he was out front watching for his son's return. And he ran to greet him. Rather than making him grovel first and prove himself first, there was a welcome without hesitation. Such was the love of the Father. Jesus said, as the Father in the story is, so is the Father. The point of his story. This is how he loves. It's a love that holds but doesn't grasp. If we're determined to wander to the far country in search of the love that we've always had, Jesus wants us to know that the love of the Father will stand and watch as we wander off. He won't trap us. It's a love that holds without grasping. And it's the kind of love that welcomes without hesitation, even when we've made a mess of life and dishonored the Father. It's the kind of love that the Father has for you and for me. It's the kind of love you never find in the far country. It's not there. It's the kind of love we have at home with the Father. And he's eager to give. It's the kind of love our hearts have been searching for all along. And we didn't even know it. The kind of love that Jesus came to bring. Wow. And there's more. What is love? Love is the capacity that a lover has to build up the beloved, which is what the Father showed in spades to his younger son. Younger son figured that the only way he could possibly come home now was to beg to be received as a servant. He'd totally blown it as a son. By asking for his part of the inheritance while his dad was still living, he was truly saying, Dad, I just wish you'd drop dead. But since you won't do that, how about giving me what I have coming to me so I don't have to be around you? That's pretty strong. And as if that weren't enough, he immediately sold his part of the family estate. Now imagine how that works. You got the family estate. As the younger son, he gets a third of the family estate, so he sells off a third of the ranch. That's always been in the family. And suddenly strangers have it. And he's got his bag of cash. And he leaves. He'd failed as miserably as anyone could possibly fail as a son. And so he had this intuition, the only way I could possibly come home would be as a servant. And Jesus said, but his dad would hear none of it. He immediately called for the symbols of sonship to be brought. The robe and the ring and the shoes. That means nothing to us, but I can tell you in that culture, they knew what that meant. He comes home in the tatters. He looks like a slave. He's barefooted. And the dad says, my son is home. And he heard his dad say it. My son is home. Not this boy, not this knucklehead, not this loser, or worse, but my son. Put the steaks on the grill, we're going to have a party. The guy's still standing there in his rags, and the steaks are going on the grill. And Jesus' point is clear. This is what the Father's like. Not just the Father in the story, but the Father. His love will not rest with you being anything less than His daughter, His son, the child of the house, the child He holds close to His heart, the child He celebrates, the child He wants more than anything to know His kind of love. You may find it safer just to creep in the edge of life with the Father. He won't let you stay there. He's going to pull you front and center and name you as daughter and son, and then dress you as the same and celebrate who He's making you to be. Mario finally got that. And it changed his life. The Lord didn't want to simply heal him. He wanted to make him whole. And so on Valentine's, we hear the love story of the one who did that. He told love stories, and he lived a love story, and he died a love story, and he rose again to make that love triumphant in our lives. And you've heard all this. But my question to you today, have you really, really heard it? Have you received it into the deepest part of your heart? The Father's still saying it. I love you, Bonnie. I love you, Donna. I love you, Joe. I love you, Josh. I love you, Naomi. I love you, Walter. I love you, Jason. And He's going to keep saying it until it sinks in and we're called to life in His love. Now let's pray. Father, thank You for receiving us with open arms. Thank You for a party that You throw in our behalf. Mercy, we deserve nothing. But You give everything. And even after we've failed, You give everything again. Thank You, Lord. By Your grace, may we receive, and may Your love be worked deeply into our lives, that we may be transformed in all the ways that point to You and Your goodness. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.